Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs you with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at curology.com/Spotify. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required, cancel anytime.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My passenger this week is the Rolls Royce of comedy. His dry, deadpan delivery has made him one of the most loved comedians in the UK. His brilliant new book, What Is Your Problem?, where he becomes an agony uncle, is hysterical. Please welcome on board, Jack D! This is the final boarding call for Jack D. Jack D, this is your final boarding call. Boarding call for Jack D. Jack D.
Jack D.
Thank you. We've got Jack D on board. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Alan. It's lovely to see you.
Yeah, what kind of a passenger are you on a plane?
Very easy to please. Very easy to please. I just... Honestly, give me a little drink and keep it coming, and I'll behave. I suppose like a lot of people really, when you fly, you know, when you're on an airplane, it's one chance you get to sit down, isn't it? And actually stay in one place for a few hours. Yeah. So I relish that, and I love to read on a plane, but I most of all like to be. And I get everything. I go for everything. Because if I can, if I'm feeling flush, I always get business class if I'm going a distance. Yeah. But then the trouble with me is I want to get my money's worth. I'm not, you know, I'm not cool enough to say, leave me alone. Just, you know, wait me when I get there. I can't do that. I want to get everything I can get.
Yeah. And have you ever seen you on, because I've been on a fly and live at the Apollo, and I've been on.
Yeah.
And I do wander up and down to see, A, if people have chosen to watch me or whether they're laughing. And it can be quite heartbreaking because I'm like, she hasn't laughed once.
Yeah.
And they're good jokes.
I was once on a plane and all I could hear was this funny laughter. It was, ah, ha, 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 ah, ha, ha, because obviously you can't hear what they're listening to. And I thought, I've got to find out why they're watching. It was Mr. Bean. So everyone from every nationality was laughing at this. But I did do that once when I was flying to Australia. Had Hattie, our eldest daughter, and she was about two then, and she was, I mean, she'd had enough after 8 hours. She you know, lost it and was having a bit of a fit. And then I just to entertain her, I flicked through the channels, you know, and on the back of the seat, and I came up, and she just sort of looked at it and looked at me and thought, respect. I'm gonna shut up now because that's voodoo. I don't like that.
Would you like anything off the trolley, Mr. D? Everything. Okay.
So listen, so you've been in lockdown, you've written a book, What Is Your Problem?
Yeah.
You've become a psychotherapist.
Yeah.
It says here, after incredibly grueling 4 hours of study.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Now, this, you're basically an agony uncle, and there's all kinds of problems there.
Yeah.
Financial, sexual.
Yeah, relationships.
Relationships.
All families, everything, how to cope with Christmas, right the way through to whatever it is.
Yeah.
People were sending in letters, and once they knew it was all the letters were fielded by the publisher, and I attempt to address them and give some advice, some homely advice.
Are any of them actually you? Are you just...
What, writing
that,
in?
Yeah, putting that in so you to, you know, and try and bit of therapy there.
What, I thought, what, give myself therapy?
Well, yeah, you know, there's some, that, you know, some of them are quite personal. I didn't know maybe it's a way of you, you know.
I suppose, you know, I think by but when you look at other people's problems, the way you can approach them is by relating to them. But, you know, this book is... You know, I think we've all become far too touchy-feely and, you know, oh, lovely and why don't we sit down and talk about it? And my approach is more like, you know, have a slap around the face, right, and pull yourself together, get a grip and move on. That's sort of where I come from.
Some of the advice you give is consistently funny.
Yeah, oh,
how long did it take you to write?
Well, you know, they'd asked me to write it in 2019, but I was on tour. And you know, what often happens, you get more than one job come in at a time, and I can only ever do one thing at a time. I just don't have the bandwidth to sort of write, oh, I'm writing a book at the same time. Yeah. And I thought, no, that, but then of course we had lockdown, so the tour got cancelled, and I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to do it now. Yeah. So I just did it. I just got on. It was a chance to just lock myself away from the family because they all came back to live at the house.
Oh, gotcha.
So I had an excuse and some structure in my life, and that was a relief.
Yeah. Because, like I said, some of them are quite deep, and then you like sometimes you're really harsh.
Yeah.
Sometimes like that, the one with the wife's gone away and she's got loads of piercings. How do I get her back?
Yeah.
And you're sort of a giant magnet.
Yeah.
You know. It's like,
yeah, you know, it's
everything's covered in it.
It's all mix and match. Kind of. I like to think that there's a caring thread that goes through the book. That's not meant to be a joke.
No. God.
Hello, is there a doctor on board? We need a doctor on board. Oh, an agony uncle. Oh, you'll do.
You're also touring. Your tour was postponed. Now, this is a travel podcast. Do you enjoy touring? I love being on the stage. I hate the travelling and the killing time in a Costa Coffee and the Cafe Nero. What do you do?
I'm same as you, Alan. It's... As Barry Cryer always says, you know, I do the shows for free. It's the travelling you pay me to do. And I think that's very true for most of us, isn't it? You know, I'm going to Buxton tomorrow, but really I would prefer if they'd all come to me and then, you know, I could just do it locally. So it is, always on the road. I've developed a method now. I drive on my own now. I used to be driven and now I just drive on my own, listen to audio books and podcasts.
Life's a Beach, I'm sure you will. Yeah.
Indeed,
subscribed.
As I was saying, I've been listening to that and, you know, there are so few podcasts, aren't there? That's the sad
thing. I know,
thing.
I just wish more Hardly celebrities any. Would do
I know,
podcasts.
I know.
You know, why isn't there more? But listen, I did this because I was bored. My tour was a week away and then all of a sudden you are...
You
got nothing to do.
You got all that creative energy and
we
nowhere.
Won't go that far, Jack. But, you know,
it was a bit arty, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, but then I'm so glad I did because I realised how much I like chatting to people. And then I thought, is it weird because no one can get away? But it just made me want to go on holiday.
That's great. It suits you. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And now. It's almost like a sort of got a nostalgic feel to it, this podcast, because you think, oh yeah, and it's good because it's encouraging everyone to think, you know what, I'm going to get out there again, because it's there's nothing worse than feeling you can't travel.
Oh, I know,
bloody hell. I mean, you know, where are you going to go, what are you going to do? And also it spoils it for me if I say, oh, I'm going to book a holiday, and they say, yeah, it's fine, all you need is to have a, you know, a vaccine passport or something. I can't be arsed. You know, I'm not I'm easily dissuaded from things like that. I don't want to have to, it's none of their business if I've had
no. So tell us, when you were younger, where did you go on holiday?
Mostly on holiday was sort of camping holidays, really,
and
round Brittany and Normandy most of the time. Yeah. So and those I've got great memories of. I love that part of the world anyway. I'm a big sort of Francophile. I love France, and that was just that was a kind of that for us was our. I was amazed when I was eight and my dad said, oh, we're going to France. And that was the first time I ever went abroad. And it was so exciting. I vividly remember getting off the ferry and driving through. It was quite rainy. And just noticing everything that was just slightly different, like the signposts and the cars, all that wrong side of the road, all that. And I suppose it was the right side of the road for them. But, you know, I'll leave that open. That to me is a vivid memory, and I do enjoy travelling much more than I ever kind of own up to, I suppose. I don't do enough of it.
For me, the first time I was born was a hypermarché in Calais. Yeah. And even though that felt very exotic, look at everything's in French. Do you parlez-vous français?
Un petit peu.
Oh, classic. No, but do you speak French or are you frozen in time? Like, I'm J'ai 15 ans, I'm 15, j'habite in Northampton.
And you're still saying that, are you?
Yeah. I can get away with it in some lights.
I'm still...
Candlelight.
I did speak good French, actually, and I've let it go. But my problem is that I could never really understand it as well as I could speak it. Yeah. And so... And I had a good recipe, a good recipe. I had a good accent. Oh, what am I talking about? I sounded French. Everyone said, "Oh, but you're French," you know. But then I didn't understand when they spoke to me. So what? Basically, I got to the point where everyone thought I was a French idiot. You know. Who just didn't understand anything.
Just ignore him.
Poor, yeah. Oh, it is Jack. Just
poor Jacques.
Yeah.
Jacques de.
Yeah, le idiot de la village.
Now, you told you do Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, when it's open, when I can do it, yeah.
And you enjoy that?
I love it. It's one of the perks to me is going to those places. And just going anywhere really, but that's a fun trip to do. Mm. And I got to a point where where Jane would fly out and meet me, and when you're halfway through, you've done all the hard bit of publicising it, and then Jane comes out and meets me, and those have been terrific fun. I like doing that, and I suppose they're quite canny, aren't they? Because they have all these different festivals down under, and they follow each other around. So once you get there, you can't leave.
No.
The country, because you've got to go on to the next festival. So it goes Melbourne, then Sydney, then Brisbane and all that. So you're all over the place. But I love it. The first time I flew to Australia, though, I was such an idiot. The pilot comes on and says where you are. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, just crossing, coming off the North Indian Sea, or coming over onto land in Australia, and now flying over land in Australia." So I more or less got up and got my coat down. I'll be landing in a minute, so I better get ready. 4 hours later,
sweating.
I'm looking out the window, sweating. I've preempted this, and you're just looking down. It was just nothing. But red earth for hours and hours and hours. So, so you underestimate how huge it is until you're there, don't you?
Oh God. And I put some Australia, New Zealand dates on this tour as well, because that for me is the highlight, just getting over there, and it's so lovely.
It's so nice, and you can usually do a little holiday afterwards.
No, that's not Jack heavy breathing, that's Bev.
That's someone doing an impression of an Irish setter.
Oh, Bev, what are you doing down here? Listen, come on, we're doing a podcast.
She's beautiful. She can probably smell my dog.
Oh, she's gorgeous. But the thing is, we had Joel Dommett on, and he was talking about his wedding, and Bev came in and started vomiting where she'd eaten something. So it sounded like I was really... He was going, "Well, it was the best day of my life." And you could hear...
You with your fingers down your throat.
Yeah, disgusting.
Oh, get real, Joel.
Yeah, makes me sick.
Bonjour. Avez-vous un billet pour l'avion, Monsieur Deux? Monsieur Deux, excusez-moi, bureau de change, baguette. Fermez la fenêtre, s'il vous plaît, we are on a plane and it is very windy.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs you with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/Spotify. Curology. Skincare with a face. Subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Obviously, you're happily married now and everything. Tell us about holiday romance. Did you ever get lucky abroad?
When I was younger. Well,
maybe when you're now. Yeah, who knows? Now, you might have one now. Of those relationships.
No, I mean, I've still got that thing where I sort of I fly Jane in when I want to get lucky. That's what you do when you're sort of sensible and stable.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for Jane and all.
Totally. So it may surprise you to know I'm not that sort of gregarious. I don't want to go out and meet people.
And there's no groupies and stuff like
no,
that.
No, not
really.
There are groupies, but not groupies you want to meet. You know, they're just. You know, I once had some guy, and he, bless his heart, I mean, he's lovely, he was there, but he asked me to sign a photo, if he could have a photo taken with him, and so we took this photo, and then 9 years later, he was at the same stage door when I was on tour again, with that photo, asking me if I'd signed it. I mean, that is patience, isn't it? Because can you sign it? But what was, and he was wearing exactly the same anorak as well.
Oh, no.
I know, I did, I almost sort of, you know, I sort of felt bad. I don't mean to laugh at that.
No.
When you say people might get the image that I've got, you know, or that we have people kind of amazing, beautiful people running. They're not. Amazing, beautiful people have got much better things to do with their time.
So tell us a UK gem, somewhere that you really love. We've had Lake District. It doesn't sometimes have to be an area. It can be a pub. It can be a cove. It can be a beach.
Yeah.
What place do you like?
It's a village.
Yeah. Where?
It's called Gatwick Village.
Oh, lovely.
I have a very romantic attachment to Gatwick Village because when on our wedding night, we were going to fly out to Portugal from Gatwick, and this was 1989, and we were staying at the hotel, which is on the airport, and there was a message for me from my manager, Addison, dear Addison, who looked after you as well. And I thought, what's he got in touch with me on my wedding night for? And then Jane said, if he's got a corporate for you in the Gatwick area, I'm leaving you now, right?
That's just what understand. He would be like.
Anyway, so I rang him and we did the mobiles, I don't think. And he says, oh, I've been trying to get hold of you. And I said, yes, it is my wedding night. But anyway, what can I do? He says, no, your flight. They've been trying to get in touch. Your flight's cancelled. And then I thought, oh, he's winding me up. It's a practical joke. It's his way of saying, I hope you had a great day or something. Yeah. And I said, what do you mean flight's cancelled? And it happened to be the day when all these cheap bucket shop airlines had gone bust, but we didn't know because we'd been busy getting married.
Of course,
we get to the airport, and then this company. I said, "What? Even mine?" I said, "Who are you flying with?" It's a company called Flights of Fantasy. You imagine things. I think you find that is a fantasy now. Yeah. It's not going to happen. So then our only bet was to leave, abandon all our plans of having a nice romantic evening in the airport hotel and actually walk around the airport itself trying to get tickets out to bloody Portugal. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, managed to go find someone who could get us tickets.
Shit, on your wedding day?
On our wedding day. And then I said to Jane, come on, you know, about two in this. Do you want to get a cup of tea or something? So I took her to this cafe in the village. I think we had fish and chips. We were starving for some reason. And there she was sitting there. She still had confetti in her hair.
Oh. I
shouldn't laugh. I said, oh, no. I said, oh, just get used to it because there's going to be more of this. This is the life. I'm going to keep you going. So that's a sort of diversionary thing, I suppose. Gatwick Village is something that I'll always remember whenever anyone mentions it.
Welcome to Gatwick Village, the second busiest airport in the UK and 10th busiest airport in Europe. Perfect for a romantic getaway.
But if it was a place other than that, it would probably be Dorset, where we had family holidays when the kids were young.
Oh, nice.
We always used to go there. And there's
I was
a little
born
place.
In Weymouth.
Weymouth, yeah. So you know Studland.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, my yeah. God. That's a nudist beach.
Yeah, there is a nudist beach. Oh, my God. We've been on long walks and we found ourselves in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know how people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just naturists. Leave them alone. There is something wrong with them.
Yeah. Well, they're always bending over, trying to shove in a swing ball into the sand.
Yeah. They're always doing that. And also, if you're going to be nude, then take your Crocs off as well.
Yeah.
Don't think I haven't noticed you got Crocs on and you're scared of the thorns in the sand. But anyway, and it seemed to be all people who were just like sitting in the dunes, and then they pop up like meerkats with their binoculars to see who else is around. But anyway, they do that and that's their thing. But I think I'll put it away, for God's sake. Yeah, no one's impressed. Put your trunks on, grow up.
You can always tell someone when you say Studland Beach, what thing, and that just showed my mind in the gut. I went nudist beach, because actually it's a gorgeous National Trust beach.
It is.
It's also where the red squirrel lives.
Yeah, there's a red
squirrel. So depending on when you say Studland Beach, you go, all red squirrels, then you know, I've just come across as a pervert.
Just make sure it is a red squirrel.
Oh, God.
It's, no, it is.
It's Chris Evans skinny dipping.
It is. That's a fantastic bit of beach, that. And as you probably know, you go over the little chain ferry to get there.
Yes.
Which takes about 5 minutes. But when my kids were small, they thought we're going abroad. You know, so Dad splashed out. He's taking us abroad on holiday. So it's perfect. Where are we going then? I said, oh, we're going to Japan for holiday. And they said, oh, is there going to be a swing? Yeah, there'll be swings. Don't worry about that. It's a beach, everything, you know. So they went back to school saying they've been to Japan on their holidays. But it was that was where we went. And we went to just a funny hotel overlooking the beach. Proper old school family sort of Enid Blyton type hotel, you know.
Yeah. And then Lulworth Cove, I remember walking in Smuggler's Bay. Oh, it's so lovely.
I know, isn't it? Yeah.
So lovely.
You'd think smugglers would choose someone more discreet than that to bring their stuff in, wouldn't you? A bit of a giveaway.
Welcome to Studland Beach. Beware, there are red squirrels, so hold on to your nuts.
Tell us now about one of the worst places you've stayed. You don't have to name and shame, but just like, we had Amanda Olden on here. She hates Corsica only because she broke her leg on a jet ski, weren't it right? And then she had a mini tornado when she was there. So we're not like showing, but have you had a bad...
I've got a sort of an accumulative group of places that I've stayed. A lot of the worst places I've been in probably in Britain, just crap hotels where it's just the carpet is a bit sticky and it's all nasty and hasn't been done up since 1980 or something like that.
And you're on tour as well. You must get that when you come in at like 10:15 or 10:30, kitchen's closed.
Oh, yeah.
You've entertained thousands of people and you're having some KP nuts and a...
Nothing going on. And, you know, you've got, you know, the night manager is doing you a cheese and pickle sandwich. Yeah. And even that's not very nice. So it is that those are the memories, but I suppose I've been some good places as well. The trouble when you stay in posh places and really smart places is that then the pressure is on for it to be amazing.
Yeah.
And I get annoyed very quickly. Shock you to hear that, but I get and I don't have any patience for it. And I think this is meant to be amazing, and you can't bother to do it quite right. So those are the places that really, really do me in, or they're just comical, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I've stayed in some of the best. I stayed in Raffles in Singapore, and when you arrive there, they say you've got your own butler. And I thought, I didn't really want one, but I've got one, so that's all right. You know, my own butler. You know, and so Jane and I said, we'll go out on the terrace outside our room and let's see what the butler's up to, see if he'll. So I ring up and say, oh, hello, Mr. D. And all very nice. So, can we have two teas, please? And he goes, what kind of teas? And, oh, you know, just English. English would be fine. The English tea, thank you. And he's going, it's just two teas for Mr. D. And he says, yeah, this is coming. And then it arrives. And there wasn't a teapot on the trolley. There was a plate with one of those galoshes things, one of those dome things. And he puts it in front of me and then lifts it up. And it's just two bits of cheese.
So what's happened then?
I said, if you want to be my butler, right, we're going to have to sort some things out.
To get your ears syringed.
Very sweet, though. Very nice people at that hotel. I look forward to going back. Have you been there?
I went back, but when I was skint.
Yeah.
Oh, so right. I went in there, but now I've got a bit of money, I will like to go back there.
Yeah.
But,
It was what was part of the big, what they called the Grand Tour, wasn't it? Where, you know, people like Charlie Chaplin would just travel by steam around the world. And that was one of the places they stayed. It's got a lot of memories like that. It's great. Yeah.
Are you a bit like me? Because I find, you know, with these theatres and stuff, some of these places you stay in, they get it all wrong. I mean, I think I don't want to name and shame one place because it is quite nice, but across the road, there was where Abbott Costello and Charlie Chaplin performed. And then that's all ripped out and made into a Betfred. And then where you're performing... Yeah. It's just quite a hollow, empty room. Some of these councils, they just get it so wrong.
They get it so wrong.
And one of the most amazing places I went, Bradford, St. George's Hall, and I was reading a Dickens biography, and the woman saw it, and she went, come down here. And she went and showed me the big book. Charles Dickens did the first ever Christmas Carol there.
He's reading of it.
Yeah, 100 Guineas, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing, but you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, you go on that stage and you feel... And I don't care, maybe it's bullshit, but you feel energised and you feel like you are part of a tradition.
Of course you do.
But they just sometimes, some of these places, they knock the wrong place down.
Yeah, they do. They renovate it and they rip all the heart out of it. And I sometimes think, well, why don't you ask performers what they like out of the theatre, what works for them? Because guaranteed that's going to be what works for the audience because we're happy when they're happy. And I totally agree. And some of those new places that have been done, they're just... I don't know. What do you think? What's going on? Is it crematorium or it's got that
leisure
kind of
centres are the worst one. You're waiting for a bums and tums class to finish so you can do a bloody sound check. You know, and halfway through, someone will come in with a yoga mat wrapped up. Yeah, like, no, that was tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hardly. I mean, maybe I'm sound like a right old gay, but I do love going out to these old Matcham theatres. I love them, and Leeds City Varieties.
Perfect. And it
perfect. Acoustic, perfect, not a bad seat in the house.
You can really, really feel it in fact, where I'm going tomorrow, Buxton, as I just mentioned.
Oh, the Opera House.
The
beautiful.
Opera House there. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, amazing.
They haven't changed anything. And, you know, you can imagine Laurel and Hardy playing there and probably it hasn't been done since. So, yeah, places like that, I totally agree. And that's what I love. I love that atmosphere and I love the darkness of those places where it's for you to create the space, whereas the modern places they build now, they're all light. Even the stage is, you know, is white wood, a blonde wood. And
if you've got a basketball hoop in your eye line, you shouldn't really be putting
that's not great. When you go for the sound check and you can see Babington Court lines, you think, oh, here we are.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, squaw. That's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, squaw. Feel the burn. Feel the burn. Feel the burn.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies. breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Now listen, I'm going off piste, dear, but have you ever been to a haunted theatre? Do you believe in any of that?
Oh, gosh.
Did you? What about that one in Lancaster?
In the Grand. The Grand Theatre in Lancaster.
That's the most haunted downstairs.
Yeah. I don't think I have.
Don't believe in it, that's fine. And I'm not, I should be talking about travel, but I'm always intrigued about, because everyone's sort of got a bit of a story.
I suppose I'm superstitious. Yeah, I'm sorry. I haven't.
No, that's fine.
I've got a ghost story for you there on that. I've not for theatres, but I mean, I'm superstitious.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are, but I always find they become very burdensome superstitions. Yeah. So if I think, oh, that's a great gig, it's obviously because I was wearing these socks.
Yeah.
So there, I'm always got to wear these socks. And then as soon as something like that develops, you've got to kill it.
Cross my palm with silver, Mr. D.
So no, I don't care.
No.
I'm going on without the socks this time, and it'll be... But
tomatoes being thrown.
Yeah.
Oh, what a load of shit.
Yeah,
socks.
And there's, you know, theatres are places full of superstition more than anywhere, I think. You know, no whistling backstage, all that stuff. And it's all very traditional. It all goes back a long way, all that stuff.
Well, in the Isle of Man, I had a joke ages ago about rats. And I said, oh, and a bloody rat, blah, 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 rats. Everyone goes, whoop, whoop. Because it's something to do with when the harbour, there was a rat on the ship, it brought the plane.
Yeah.
Freaked me out. A whole, whoop, whoop. I'm like, what was the thing? Have you ever broken America? Have you ever performed in America? Is that something you want to do?
No.
Thank you.
Probably more honestly, I have worked over there, I mean, you know, they've got millions of comedians over there, so I did perform over there in the early 90s a few times, and I thought, I honestly came to the conclusion, I'm never going to be... I haven't got anything new to offer America that they don't already do much better than I'm doing it right now. So, and I thought also, I probably could get work. This was then. I probably could get work, and I'd just sort of disappear onto the road and never be heard of again, but just be working, you know. So, no, it hasn't happened to me. I haven't done, but I love that question of you know, are you going to... do movies, and it was not really up to me. Not really.
Yeah, as if you have any choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, they're always asking me.
No, because that's the thing I've always been scared of America doing my stand up. Yeah. I think because there's so many over there and all that.
Yeah.
Canada, I love performing in Canada, but I just something about America that just sort of scares me a bit, and I just didn't.
Yeah.
Know.
You I see you as quite British in what you do, the nuances, and probably I am as well. I don't know, but not that wouldn't make it work, but they just have to be wanting to appreciate that. But yeah, it's a big industry there. It just gets scary, and you think I have a good career here, and I like it, and I'm close to home, you know, which America isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I think maybe am I not ambitious enough, but I have such a lovely life here.
But you can be ambitious here. You don't need to be dominating the world.
No.
You know, there are differences.
Well, I don't know, Alan Carr, the brand, it could do with a New York office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you complain, and what do you complain about in your hotel? Smoky rooms, I'll stop. That sets me off. I know nice guy Alan. Right. You wait if I smell some B&H coming from the headboard.
Surprisingly, it often still happens, doesn't it, smoky rooms? You know, it's disgusting. Even with the vape thing going on, people still want to smoke. Jane is very noise sensitive. If there's something like an extractor fan or something like that is noisy and you can't turn off, that will drive her nuts. And I've kind of caught that from her, so I'm very sensitive to that. And I hate, you go in a room and you've got air conditioning units outside your window and you can hear that all night.
Oh, that's like in New York,
just
isn't it?
About
yeah.
does my head in. And I
do you ever worry about them falling off the building on top of you? Do you ever get that as well?
Well, now you've planted that in my head. That's gonna happen.
Have you seen that, Jack? He's a bundle of nerves.
Oh my god!
Walking down the street. Do you complain or do you do what I do? I wind my Paul up, so Paul goes in there, and then I'm behind Paul, going, "Oh, just ignore him." Yeah. It's very irritable.
Yeah, I try to. I suppose if I think about it, what I do is kind of passive aggressive complaining. You know, like I'll say, it's not a thing. It doesn't matter at all. But it's just that I didn't sleep because of the noise. That's all. But I know it's not your fault. So it's all a bit because I don't want to be hated. I'm too much of a coward to say, you know, look, sort your shit out, house hotel out, because I couldn't sleep. It's a dump and I'm never coming back. I don't suppose anyone else is. Or a sort of, yeah, do you know who I am? I only have to one word with my agent and I'll make sure the likes of Alan Carr don't come here. You might not care about me, but you'll be sorry when he's not coming anymore. So, so I'm, but it's that very English thing, really, of wanting to get your point across, but not wanting to appear difficult.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So I am a bit like that, and that's not admirable at all. But I'm also, I don't know. They're only kids working these places. Money's rubbish. I've worked in places like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're only doing their bit. You know, you're lucky if they say hello to you. So it doesn't. You know, I'll just say, look, I know it's not your fault, but you know, this has happened. I did complain on a plane over to Australia last time I was going there, actually, and because I'd the smoked salmon starter came, and in between the slices there was a little sheet of plastic. You know how when you buy it, it's got that little sheet of plastic, right? So. And I called the steward over. I said, in my way. I said, I it doesn't matter at all. I know it's not your fault, but just so you know, there's a choke hazard in my food. This is, you know, I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't have, but I could have died. But anyway, not a big deal. He said, I'm so sorry. And he goes away. And about an hour later, the bursar comes up and says, I'm so sorry. Gave me £100 voucher. Right, I bet people would be slipping their own little bits of plastic into £100 voucher, which of course that I had to spend on the aeroplane, and it, you know, which is that's the downside.
If it was
and
Ryanair, you that's a lot of lottery
I know,
tickets.
I know that
that's right. That's a lot of panini. And what do you like with delicacies? Do you will you be go off piece street food?
No, not really. I
appreciate your honesty.
I mean, look, it's a reason it's street food, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want to stand in the street eating. That's not for me. I want to sit down. I want it brought over. I don't go with this. Oh, you must eat that. It's what all the locals eat. Yeah, but you know, I'm not a local, am I?
No,
I'm a tourist. So I want better. Yeah. Otherwise, what's the point of being holiday?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I find that a slightly puzzling attitude that people want to go somewhere and get down and dirty with the locals. But, you know, the locals actually would like your life. So why don't you just trade? Why don't you say, look, you go back to my house, we'll do an Airbnb thing, right?
Yeah.
And I'll live in your hut and you go and live in my apartment and then we'll both sort of get off on that. But
yeah, a bit like wife swap
going,
but
yeah,
tourist
but
swap.
Yeah, but pretending that you're down with it. That's why these people go off to bloody, you know, Cuba and stuff and go, oh, it's amazing, our hotel is just this shack with a corrugated roof and there's just dirt on the floor. So you must go before it all changes. I said, no, I'll wait until it's changed, right? When they've got an Ibis and a health centre, maybe I'll think about going there, but it's not for me, sorry.
You're 100 years old. You're sitting in that rocking chair. Where do you want to be in the world looking out?
Oh.
And you've got all your faculties because people say, oh, am I pissing myself? Yeah. Have I got a nappy on? Can I still see?
I'm a bit of a split personality like that because I love cities and town. I like to, I love it more than the countryside. And but I do spend time in the countryside. But if I'm there, I'd either be looking at the sea. I love to look at the sea.
Yeah.
But I'm not look, you know, slouched in a chair dribbling, looking at
pissing
the sea.
I
want to be enjoying the view.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
you'll be one of those pensioners who has the
cravat,
still got a bit of a pipe.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have the old, I'll be making out that I was a war hero by then. But
war? The war on terror? The war on terror? Yeah. I'm a war veteran. When I'm old.
I was in the culture wars, me. And I, yeah. Yes, VC. Yeah. But I'd be looking at a beautiful cityscape. That's what I would really like. I can't be doing with looking at countryside very much. Don't like it.
No, okay.
I find human life much more interesting than you know, wildlife. I find it. I don't know why. Maybe it's partly why I'm a comedian, or it appeals to that side of me. But I find people fascinating.
Yeah.
And life, human life. You know, endlessly fascinating. So yeah. I love it. I can watch that all day. And so I'm always going to be in towns. I like that. Yeah.
Okay. So from something like New York, maybe, or something.
Well, London is great. I love. London's yeah, good, yeah. Isn't I mean, it? I really yeah. like London, and so I'm very lucky to be able to live here. It's good. So those really would be where I'd be. But I can't. I mean, there's some people want to retire to these, you know, places where, like a bit like the theatres, you go to a retirement village. You know, there's. child-free communities and stuff. You think, oh, come on.
No.
Like, you're not that... just keep going.
Yeah, don't give up.
Don't say you can't look at kids anymore and you can't... You know, it's just bloody hell. They're making noise, they go around on their bicycles. Yeah, it's called playing. Yeah. They're in a laugh. If you're sick of those, like people who say, there's a school down the road and makes such a noise at playtime. Yeah. Honestly, if you don't like that sound, you need to get yourself put down.
Go to Switzerland.
It's over. Because that's the sound of life and future.
We are now approaching Gatwick Airport. Please remember to belt up and don't forget to stow away your trays. Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Okay, right, listen, now we are about to land, so I've got time for the quick fire quiz. Okay, Amazon Prime or Amazon Hike?
Oh, Amazon Prime.
Yeah, yeah. No hiking. Yeah. Full English or full moon party?
Oh, that's difficult because I'd probably do a full moon party, actually.
I can't imagine you at a full moon party.
Well, partly because I don't know what it is. So I'd
it's where you're like techno and you're on the beach and full moon and you're like, everyone's like, you know.
Oh, can I choose again?
Oh, yeah, you'd rather have your full English.
I'll go for my brekkie.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was a bit surprised. No offence, but I was a bit, he's a dark horse.
I thought it was going to be that's sunset, isn't it? Martinis and stuff.
No, this is like, off your head, like dancing to the moon.
No, I can't. Okay. I can't do that, no.
Yeah, just stick to your sunny side.
I like to keep my ass regular.
Mojito or mint tea?
Mojito. I like a drink, yeah.
Is it Wi-Fi a go-go or Wi-Fi a no-no? Do you like having internet access or can you live without it?
I can live without it, yeah, I can. Good. I've got this, in our house we try to stick to rules where that we don't do screens at the table. So
yeah, that's
it's increasingly difficult though because you'd be having a conversation and come up with something and someone doesn't know the answer and they've whipped their phone out before you know it and it's like everyone knows everything now because they've got a phone in their hand.
Yeah.
But I just, this is only a personal thing, but I like to go out without a phone. I like to not answer the phone.
Yeah.
I often don't answer the phone. I really do like that. And like if I walk my dog, I leave my phone at home. Because I think I don't mean talking on the phone. I want to be walking my dog.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the point of it. And
do you find when you're on stage, people are, I find it increasing more and more people on their phones and you're like, we just put the phone away.
Yeah,
and then
there's
one woman, I remember my last tour, I said, what are you doing? You've been on the phone. I'm tweeting you.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not going to get that tweet.
I know. Well, it's like people are always filming everything, you know.
Oh,
you see, they're filming everything, but try looking at it instead. Who are we going to show this video to?
I know.
Who cares? Who cares you saw some fireworks?
Yeah.
You know, and is it going to be
Alan Carr in Rochdale? It's not Barbara Streisand, is it? Or, you know, Jimi Hendrix, is it?
But
it's
even
Alan
if
Carr.
It was, even if it was, you know, you're just taking photos. Everyone's got photos of Barbara Streisand. We know what she looks like. We don't need your crappy photo. Don't need that. This is where I was sitting. I don't care.
Tip 'em or fuck 'em. This is like, hear me out. Yeah. I've seen your eyebrows go up.
I've already made one mistake.
You've had a great week. They've really looked after you. Do you going, ha ha, pack your bags and go? Or do you go, do you know what? I'm going to tip you.
I'm big into tipping.
That's nice. Right answer.
Yeah, no, I tip. And if they've looked after me, I look after them. And I think it's so important because I worked in that business for a long time.
Yeah.
Before I could go full time in comedy, it was, you know, and just bar work and restaurant work. And you know, that makes your day when someone appreciates what you're doing for them. It's great. So. And I try to do that for people and try and sometimes occasionally if I haven't got cash on me or something, because now you have to pay with your phone and then you can't put it on, I feel mortified. I've been known to go back and say, look, I didn't have cash, but here's some money.
That's nice.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I know. It's a bit pathetic, really, but I think that's so important. And people who don't tip,
arseholes.
Just stay away.
I ask the waiter, do you get this service charge? Because these horrible companies who take charge. How can you sleep at night?
I know, they take it off them, and they're earning, and then they're getting these all the tips off the waiters. It's absolutely shocking that, I mean, they should boycott those places.
It's turned into points of view. We've never had a conversation.
Important to do that, I remember in the old days when I was back in working in Covent Garden, and there's all on tips there, and one of the waitresses there, she's really got fiery, she didn't get tipped, and this bloke he'd done a whole thing for like five people and was trying to impress him, and as a tip he left a load of small change on the table. And she just got hold of it and she walked out, followed him into the street, says, you forgot your fucking bus fare, and chucked a whole lot. It was just brilliant. And he came in and complained, and I said, what do you expect?
Good for her. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jack D.
All right. Yeah, well, thank you, Ellen. It was good fun.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
That was Jack D. Thank you so much to everyone who listens to this podcast. We are so grateful. Thank you so much for the support. We really do appreciate it. Next week, it's Jordan North. Have a lovely week.